This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
Do you need a ride? 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 Do you need a ride?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
Hello, Karen, my friend.
Hello, Chris in Montana.
I am, right as you said that, a deer. There's baby deer in my backyard that look just like Bambi with the little white spots.
Oh.
I think I've talked about this deer that was in the backyard that had obviously been in some kind of a collision with a car, and its tongue was always out, but was living a normal life, and its front leg bends the wrong way, kind of like a human's, like...
No.
Yeah, I know, but has been that way for 5 or 6 years now, and just had a baby. And kind of like we're trained to be a get happy because I'm like, the deer with a backwards leg had a baby. But then I thought, well, then maybe it wasn't her choice. You know, she can't.
Are you going to bring Bambi rape into the Bambi car accident
story? No, I would never say that word.
Feels like that's what the direction you're taking this.
The point, yeah, I know. But you know me, my stories all come out and save themselves in the end. I was just happy. I'm just saying everyone has a type. And she fell in love.
There's a pot for every lid.
Right. And there is a deer out there that wanted to have a Bambi baby with the deer with the long tongue that's always out.
Isn't that sweet? That deer is on TikTok because that's the big thing for selfies and stuff. You stick your tongue out. It's a way of being cute.
Yeah.
It's like that's how you're cute these days.
I've been actually meaning to start doing that. But you know who's got the TikTok all figured out as our guest today.
Yes, finally. Someone young.
He's going to teach us how to be valid online. You know our guest from, he's got a very amazing HBO comedy special called The Golden One. You can watch it now. What else? He was in Walking Dead, I think.
He's got a podcast called The American Arts and Culture Review. He does it all.
More important than Walking Dead. Everyone, put your hands together for Whitmer Thomas.
Woo!
Woo!
Thanks. Thank you all for having me.
You're welcome.
For all the nice stuff. I like that y'all think of me as a young TikToker type.
Well, you're a skateboarder. Dare I say, distractingly handsome. You are younger than me. You're younger than me.
Well, thanks, man. That's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, you bet.
That's all great compliments.
That's awesome. I feel bad for like the true blue TikToker 20-year-olds who are like smoking hot.
Yeah.
You know? because they're making hot 20-year-olds right now are like making more mistakes than any year of hot people in like the history of time. Like mistakes is in things they're going to be like kind of embarrassed by in a few years.
Yeah.
Like their TikToks, they're being recorded.
Yeah, they're recording themselves. Like hot boys are recording themselves going like, if a girl comes up to me and she's wearing that cherry chapstick, you know she's going to be getting my kisses. Yeah. And like licking their lips and like,
yeah,
I didn't do that. Maybe I did that or I thought it, but I wasn't filming it.
That's a really good point.
Wait, have you done a series of characters on TikTok as the people you should, maybe you should get into that a little bit.
Or man. Just keep doing that cherry chapstick bit, because that was pretty great.
That's just
they all talk like they all talk like their jaws are broken. Like
they all talk like they have like they have really they gotta wet their lips and their jaws are so pointy that like maybe they don't really open all the way, you know? Like yeah, if you tell me what would happen if you are seeing a girl who's pretty and then that girl just so happened to be being abused by her boyfriend, this is what I would be doing. And it's like, what is this scenario that they made up? Do you ever see those? Like the act where they like, there's a scene? No. Well,
no, because your point is, you're exactly correct. I've only seen them when someone is making fun of them and responding to them in a TikTok.
Yeah, yeah.
So then they'll show them, you know, making fun of that person. They fall off their stool or whatever. But
there's one right now that it's just like four different ways to laugh to make a girl like you. And it's just like a guy like, going
to
like,
change your laugh.
And then like, and then a guy going, it's like a dude showing you the way he laughs to make girls like him.
And he's not kidding.
No!
It's in earnest. He means it.
And he'll be so embarrassed in 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's permanently on the internet.
Yeah. Sorry, have you ever liked someone because of strictly the way they laugh?
No!
Is that a thing to work on?
No, I've not liked... I didn't know how talented Fran Drescher was because I was judging her based on her laugh on The Nanny. And little did I know, she was, her whole career, she's really kind of a genius. And then, that laugh ruined everything for me.
Yeah. I mean, there's some people who have a laugh where they do they're laughing in the audience. And I'm like, wow, what a laugh that person has there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Imagine having that laugh.
A real standout laugh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no laugh that doesn't, I don't like hearing anymore.
Yeah.
I really.
You'll take any kind?
Yeah.
Even a TikTok boy laugh?
The only.
Wait. Sorry, I was just going to say, Whit, can you give Chris his four choices?
Yeah, yeah.
Of laugh.
Because I actually do want people to like me, and I do want it based on my laugh. And my snort. People have been thinking that's forced, so I don't want to do the snort, just loud snort. So let me hear the attractive.
Okay, well, let me try to do it naturally. So could you just go over the outline of the deer knee tongue story?
Sure,
and I'll try
sure.
to naturally
it's a good example of a very fun, all the way through fun story. So while we were talking, a baby deer just went by the window here, Whit. Yeah.
That's number one.
And the mom is in the backyard. Mom's been in the neighborhood for a while. Her tongue is always permanently out. It's just always.
That's number two.
Okay, good. I do like these laughs. And, you know, but I'm happy because, you know, she's a mom. And yeah.
Number three.
There's always somebody for someone out there.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't think of a fourth one. I couldn't think of it.
That is like that TikToker was slowly getting choked. That was his laugh trajectory. It felt like.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is the kind of thing you worry about when you're a kid, though.
What the laugh?
Your laugh is cool. Yeah.
Dude, I had a friend who had a fake laugh. And you'd go, oh! Anytime you thought something was funny. Not cool.
Did he get that from, do you think that was like, oh, that's what the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles did? Or like from a movie or something?
No, you're absolutely right. Because being grown up in Alabama, everybody wanted to sound Californian, like all my friends. So we would do whatever we could to mask our accents. And so he was really big on like, dude, that's absolutely like wicked.
What's funny is I noticed that in Boise, Idaho. I go to Boise, Idaho a lot, and everyone there kind of talks like an 80s surfer guy, like, no way. Whoa. And I'm like, wait a minute. Aren't you currently farming for potatoes?
Yeah. I think you just sort of taught that that's the cool way to sound.
Yeah. Totally, dude. Totally.
Bill and Ted, the Bill and Ted dialect.
Yeah.
That's left. When I was a teenager, when the actual Valley Girl, when the song came out, Moon Unit Zappa's song, which is actually genius if you re-listen to it. And then the trend of talking like a quote unquote Valley Girl started. And this was like the early 80s. And everyone went from just regular to like everyone had the most extreme, crazy accent that was from a song. It was like it came out of nowhere. And suddenly everyone was talking like it. It made my parents insane.
Wow. Yeah. I bet. It's so funny that people didn't sound like that before then.
Yeah. Right. It's
except for in LA, like in the Valley.
Yeah. That song. And then, what else started it for me? I thought of it, but then I lost it. Anyway, Spicoli. Yeah, that.
I wanted to
sound like Spicoli when I was young. And there was an older group of guys, and they did have skateboards, and they went to high school when my sister did, though. So it was like mid-80s, and they had a Volkswagen bus, and they'd come spilling out of it with their skateboards. And I think I saw them once when I was a kid, and I was like, okay, that's the life I want to lead.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a Volkswagen bus, and my father, he's in the next room right now. I hope you can hear me, Dad. He sold it right when I got my driver's license, and I got a Ford Escort wagon.
Loser.
I had a van, a big van. That was my first.
See, it
was
kinda you like, had it oh. all, buddy.
Like an Econoline van?
Exactly. Ford Econoline. It had bunk beds. I bought it from my brother for $500.
Wow. Yes.
And it was great. It had a big stencil of Mr. T on the side that was inherited. I didn't...
Wait, your brother had put that on there?
That's so cool.
He did, or somebody else did, or...
Well, your brother, you have a cool older brother.
Yeah.
He's in your special.
He is. Right? He's
Bad a brother?
Big, yeah, he's like one of the legends of my hometown.
Yeah.
But I'm stupid because my last name is Thomas, and so people at school, my teachers would call me Mr. T a lot of the time. And I thought it's just because my last name's Thomas. And then I... realized, oh yeah, there's this Mr. T stencil, and then that's why we call you Mr. T, you fucking fool.
You know what? In your defense, the fact that your last name starts with a T, that's where I would go with it.
Well,
not everyone is glued to the TV watching the A Team.
Right.
This Mr. T's reading books.
And is your older brother how you got into skateboarding went?
Oh yeah. He was into all of the things, you know, Pennywise, the band, not the clown. I mean, he liked the clown too. We loved that clown, that creepy little guy.
Yeah. But the clown isn't a lifestyle like Pennywise, the band.
Right. The most boring. I saw Pennywise as like a more older guy. And I was like, this is what I like. It's just dudes in backwards hats going, this one is for all of your friends. You have to stay friends with your friends. These punk guys are obsessed with like, just never, your friends are your family. That kind of
thing. Yeah.
That kind of thing. And he got me into pretty much everything I like now, you know.
How much older is he?
He's 5 years older. So it was,
that's a good gap.
I realized like in therapy just like a couple weeks ago that something that I did because my brother was nice enough to let me hang out with him all the time, him and all of his older friends. go skating and surfing and go to shows and stuff. But they would make fun of me and sort of pick on me all the time because I was like a child. So I would do this thing, and my therapist only just recently told me that this is like was kind of like a problem and makes a lot of sense, which is where I would get into the car and I would think of a thing for them to make fun of me about, and then I would say it in earnest, like as if it was true. So I'd get into the car and go, you know, it was the early 2000s, so there's a lot of homophobia back then. And I'd get into the car and I'd go like, guys, I just want to suck all your dicks. And then they would spend the whole car ride making fun of me for saying that. And then looking back, you know, I was like, I'm in control of this.
Yeah.
They don't realize that I'm in control. And my therapist was like, that's a problem. And that's probably why you're a stand-up comedian.
Because I look at it and I'm like, wow, you were a smart kid. Your therapist would be like, you're even older. You should know better. I was going to say, good job.
Yeah, you're going through your head as a kid and going, what's the worst thing? Probably what's the worst thing they could say to me?
Yeah.
Or what's the most, you know, threatening or upsetting or whatever. And then you say it first.
Yeah.
Therefore, it doesn't hurt. And that, you know, anything they try to do doesn't count.
Oh, yeah.
You're in charge. I love it.
Yeah.
And the attention is almost my sister is 6 years older. And I also her friends all wanted to hang out with me. And I thought it was the coolest. And they would fully dress me up in my grandma's clothing and do full makeup on my face and do my hair. And it was the funnest. Actually, at no point was I embarrassed of those photos.
Mm-hmm.
There are photos where I look like a tiny little woman. And like from my early age, and it was only memories of great times. I got to find some of those photos. I know we've talked about this, Karen, but there are.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, I've tried to get them. It's only the third time I've mentioned it. Look, I know we're in season two, but season one was 5 years long, Whit. And I only have
season two.
Yeah.
Year eight.
I have 17 stories and they all get better with age.
I can't believe I didn't tell that story last time I was on the podcast 5 years ago.
I know, when we were in the car. But I think that is such a crucial, I feel like I could always tell kids who didn't have older siblings or cousins or someone around them compared to people who did, because you get, it's almost like they take you and they beat you up and they insult you and you get kind of seasoned for like the social politics of school.
Yeah.
And you're not like, you really do then have that thick skin or that whatever, where you can like manage that stuff that I think when it hits kids, like when you're the oldest and you can't, you don't have any of that, you're the one that's like setting the tone for the rest of your siblings or whatever. And then school is like this violent awakening. I always just was happy because I had cousins that were like 8 and 10 years older that we would try to get them to like, please play war with us.
Yeah.
Please do this. And like, even if they did agree, they would figure out a way to like hit you during the game as part of the game or, you know what I mean? There was always like that kind of thing.
We're in the same army.
Yeah, stop hitting me. I'm on your fucking side. But I always just think it's such an advantage. Like my niece now is an only child, but she has like three older cousins, all girls, that have been relentlessly mean to her since she was a baby. So like she has this kind of like, who gives a shit? She just can handle shit so well, where me and my sister are always like, wow, she was really cool about that. And it's like, oh, that's right. They were playing a game one time and we went through to see like what the names were. It was some computer game or something. I can't remember. And one of the other older cousins' team name was Nora Should Die or something insanely violent against my niece. And we couldn't stop laughing because they all act like they're like sweet and cute to each other. But it's like, you know, the gloves are off when they're together. And then you get that kind of, you get pre-bullied. So bullying isn't as much of an issue.
I think, you got to get bonked on the head a couple times before you go to school and you steal some kid's pencil or something.
Yeah.
And then you're over. You're done.
You're ruined.
Yeah, anytime I meet someone, even in an airport, and they're losing it because they're not getting their way, I want to yell, only child!
Yeah, but also when I see those people, I think that person is somehow happier than I'll ever be in my life. Like, when they fucking scream at people screaming at airports is hilarious. Like, but I'm also like, they're tapped into like a level of they lack the self-awareness to like understand how they affect people. So yeah, they probably just sleep so peacefully every night, like not really thinking about any of the mistakes they've made.
Yeah, because I've seen those people lose it, and then later on they don't even realize it. And they don't care that later on they're sitting on the airplane in front of everyone who just saw them say, this is absolutely ridiculous. When it's like, it's not really ridiculous. You just don't maybe fly that often, but planes are canceled. I would say 60% of the time.
Yeah, pretty common.
This is ridiculous. And then they're sitting on the plane. Hey, so where are you going to? Don't try and talk to me. Everyone on here saw you lose it at the kiosk, you weirdo, you only child.
You're already the big asshole. You're like the kid who threw up in grammar school, and you're just the kid who threw up for the rest of school.
Oh,
like,
man.
Now you're on that plane, don't and you're the dick me. Who yelled about a thing no one can control.
Absolutely.
You're a child.
I always wonder what they think they're going to get from the flight attendant. Like, what do you think this person is going to be able to do for you?
The funny thing is, though, I have seen it work. Like, I'm always like, well, I guess that's the way it goes. I'll miss my first show tonight. And you'd see someone else lose their mind, and they sometimes get what they want in the airport because they're like, let's just quiet this lunatic down. And so sometimes I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should lose it and pound the desk and kick over some papers. Mm-hmm. I guess that'd be a karate kick.
You must have done that at one point. I can't imagine you haven't. You haven't had to.
What are you saying, Karen?
I've seen you kick things for much less reason than a flight getting canceled.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm so well behaved in an airport then.
You never yell.
God, no.
Oh, good.
Because there are people everywhere. If I could get alone with the person, then I'd tell them. Could you come in the hallway with me? Pardon me. We'll just go in the... This is ridiculous!
Ridiculous!
Sorry I'm yelling. It's just no one's around. It's so freeing.
I feel bad because the... And we can use this to segue into wit. How has your quarantine been? But I just read a thing about how now that places are trying to reopen, the clientele is so unbearable because no one has manners and everyone's kind of an asshole anymore. Like this effect of all of us being desocialized and isolated in our houses. Like now when people go out to dinner, they're just total assholes to the wait staff and the people that are like just trying to be there, like doing their best while we're still in this global pandemic. It's so sad.
Oh, yeah. I have a friend who works at a bar, and they said that also people are getting completely like sloshed drunk by 7 p.m. and then like trying to drive home. Like people just don't know how to live outside anymore. And I did go to a restaurant recently, and they said, like, when I made the reservation, we only have two employees, so don't be rude or something like that.
Really?
And I was like, oh, that's
oh,
a good
no.
That's a kind of a nice thing, but it's like, how did they have to get there? Like people have probably been so mean to them.
Yeah, to where it was part of the telephone reservation announcements.
Yeah.
Don't be mean to our two people. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, the same reason people OD on heroin. You take a break off and you forget how much. Which, you know, your body isn't used to it. And so everyone's like, I can drink again. And I've done all these shows where everyone's, not only are they drunk, they're around people for the first time and they forget how to act. They're like disruptive. I accept it because I'm like, I'm just happy there's an audience.
Same.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Treat me terribly.
Do what you will.
I'm happy to be here.
I'm sure that first buzz, like when you're, you know, one and a half drinks hits you and someone's up there making jokes and you're standing in the dark again, you're like, it's real life. Like, that's the reason I'm an alcoholic, is because I have lots of friends who, like, you get kind of buzzed and then you're like, yeah, and you stop there. And it's like, that's the engine for me to start going, where it's like, we're going to have the best night of our lives.
Yeah.
And it's Wednesday.
Yeah, the way things are going, it can only get better. Bottoms up.
Let's do this, blackout. How was your quarantine, Whit? Did you have what are some of your observations now that we're a year and a half in?
Yeah.
I look considerably older. My hair turned gray, truly. That's the main thing I keep thinking about, is that what my hair turned gray in a year. I aged twice, 2 years.
It's just sun. It's highlight. You were outside. You were skateboarding. That sun lightens your hair.
It's that gray.
In certain light, you think you're going gray.
I don't know. I aged 2 full years. At the beginning of lockdown, I was like, okay, my comedy special came out like about a week before lockdown. Yeah. And I was like,
oh, wow,
here comes my life. It's about to change. And I had all these tour dates and shit. And then, you know, they all got canceled. But, and then, you know, it became kind of awkward to tell people, like, it's international crisis. But hey, check this. Hope you got subscribe to HBO.
Yeah.
But
so true.
So that took a few months of me, like, kind of getting out of my head, like, stop being kind of, not to be a brat, but just trying really hard to not be bummed out about that. You know, a lot of lockdown was just like seeing people thrive on the internet and kind of going like, how the fuck, I gotta figure out how to do that, and then realizing like, dang it, I don't know how to do that, or fuck, like, I spent forever trying to figure out how to be a musician and a comedian, and now I gotta know how to be good at the fucking internet.
Yeah.
That's a good news story in and of itself, because I heard so many people talk about how much they loved your comedy special, Whit, and talked about how special it was and how different and cool. And I feel like that is such a ripoff. You're right. You get to be bummed and you get to be a brat because you deserve all the attention and applause and all those articles that, you know, I'm sure you're imagining thumbing through or whatever. And like, you really do deserve it. You know, hopefully there'll be some kind of weird second life for it. So, because you're right, there's a whole bunch of stuff that just got disappeared into the news cycle of, oh, holy shit, there's a new horrible thing happening. Yeah. Like, it's such a shitty thing to have to, like, to be a victim of. But the cool thing is, first of all, you're on HBO. And secondly, it's for fucking ever. So, like, we can recommend it and, like, things can happen. You never know.
Yeah.
But it is such a good special. It was amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And there were times where, because we were driving back then, we would drive by. Whitmer had billboards in Los Angeles. Like, that had to be, to see a billboard of your special with you on it had to be pretty exciting. But at the same time, that's right when you're like, damn it, this is the billboard's there. No one's driving by it because they're at home watering their plants.
It was really funny because they got stuck up on, they were up for like, 5 months because of COVID, but no one was driving in LA. It was awesome. It felt like I Am Legend. It just no traffic, nobody on the streets. And it was kind of symbolic for me, feeling kind of like I've always felt like an outsider, you know, like I don't belong. And then finally I have a billboard just alone on Sunset in Alvarado, the most prominent like East Side billboard. And I have it, but like, nobody's driving by, and I was like, this kind of works for my narrative in a way.
It does. It's also a good, you know, it's a good new chunk because goddamn, you know, like, I'm sure you're going to be able to write some jokes about, because that's real pain. And that's like a really shitty kind of injustice that, you know, I think the best comedians, when stuff like that goes on, it's just like, And now you have a new 5-minute chunk.
Right.
But like my billboard with no eyes on it.
Yeah.
What a fucking ripoff.
I think Karen's right. I think we got you a new bit.
All right.
The billboard from I Am Legend.
Very relatable.
Yeah.
You know that thing where when you work really hard and you finally get a comedy special?
Yeah.
People are like, yeah.
Yeah.
Woo!
We've all tried for that in this audience.
No, but yeah, no. I mean, I was like spinning out, but then I stopped caring. I was just, you know, who fucking cares? I don't know. I'm okay. At least I can pay my rent and stuff.
Yeah. Well, there were stages of us all dealing with this thing, and I was having the same thing. I mean, not similar. I didn't have billboards, but I put mine out right at the beginning, too, and I've canceled mm-hmm. my tour also. And I was like, so you feel selfish when you're worried about your thing. Mm-hmm. But then the next stage is, you know, whatever it is for you.
But then you saw the psychopaths who were just acting like it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
And especially into June and July with the Black Lives Matter protests and stuff. People who were just like going about their lives and posting like that, my impression of a person who doesn't know what a table is or something.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't fucking, these fucking psychopaths. What the fuck is happening?
Get
the fuck out of here.
Yeah. It got serious. I mean, but also for both of you, I think that it's that horrible lesson of show business, which is like you guys leveled up and you got to this next level and you had already made up in your mind what it was going to be like. And you can absolutely be rest assured anytime you're in that position, show business is going to be like, guess what? Yeah. We're doing something else. Like that's, you know, there's people, really successful people and really talented people who have years of stories like that of like, oh, my pen was on the paper to sign to be the lead in this blah, blah, blah movie.
Yeah.
And then whoever called and said, I'd like to do it instead. I mean, that's this town is, you know, is paved with broken dreams. Right. And you're like that. You're both in the game. You know what I mean? It's like you're both in it. You can't get your heart broken if you're not in it. So it's good. It's good to have a broken
heart. Yeah. I've always said I'm not excited about something till the actual check for having done it is in my pocket. But in this case, you know, if there's a pandemic, that doesn't even matter either. It's like, oh shit, I didn't factor that in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard. Yeah. It was hard. I couldn't even imagine a pandemic. I didn't even, when people were like COVID, I was like, who's a, what's a corona?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I remember reading the article and sending my friends the article because we had just all had lunch together and we were making some plan like, oh, we should do this once a month or something like that. And then I just sent everyone the article that was one of the first ones of like mysterious, you know, virus, the coming out of the Wuhan. I was going to say Delta. province, whatever it was. And sending that article and being like, too bad we can't meet next month because our eyes are going to be bleeding or something like that. Because every time I've seen a thing like this kind of start, like SARS or bird flu, or there's been things like that that have threatened over the years. So I just was like, it's just going to be another thing like that they just kind of like handle and keep out and we'll all be fine. And as we know, it's not that at
I
all.
Had barely, how, do you guys know Andy Smith is
the stand-up comic?
Yeah. And
yeah,
she's
great.
But she also did like the layout for my first album and stuff. She was working at Rooftop, but I've known her a while. And she, I had heard in the background mentions of everything, but she sent me on Twitter, like, you have to tape a grid in your house and stay 6 feet away from people. I thought she was going crazy. She listed everything that was to be announced, not for another couple months. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I kind of don't know what you're talking about. And I don't believe and then as everything started happening, I'm like, oh, okay. A genius with a crystal ball. How did you know? She was warning me way early on, and I still haven't followed up to one, thank her, or two, how did you know that? because I
bet she's related to a doctor.
Yeah.
I bet you, or something, because my sister has the same kind of connection where my sister sent me the N45 or 54, whatever the mask.
Yeah, she was telling me about the masks. Yeah.
Yeah, my sister sent me the masks in February because she has a friend, you know, like that she has a close related doctor who was just kind of like out of the side of their mouth being like, get ready for this, do this, make sure you have this, which is the creepiest. But I want to say this really quick. Andie Smith, I'm sure she still does comedy.
Yeah.
Is truly
hilarious.
One of the best stand-ups.
She's really great.
I love watching her do stand-up if you've never seen her.
Yeah. And yeah, that's first and foremost. I just also, she happens to be a good graphic designer and made my album art. But
and she tried to save your life.
Yeah.
You need to text her today,
I know,
Chris.
I know. Please. I was like, yeah. I actually didn't even answer the last one. Sorry, I'm a little busy right now dealing with the things you were warning me about.
We should actually have her on. You should text her and say, be on the show. Sorry, Whit. Now we're just doing
we're doing the little business.
She sounds cool. She sounds cool.
Whit's just sitting there like, excuse me, I have other projects to discuss.
Yes. other projects.
You, like me, Whit, you started skateboarding more during...
Yeah. I started skating all the time. I mean, me and Chris have gone... During COVID, I guess. Maybe that was on the other end of it. But, like, I got better at skating than I've ever been. That was kind of the saving grace for my mental health.
Yeah.
And started playing a lot of music. And at one point, I was like, I don't think I'm going to do comedy ever again. And then I was, obviously things started to open back up, and I did one show like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, oh, never mind. This is my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah. It takes one show and it's like, oh, I forgot this is part of my identity. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, are you doing, sorry to ask this question, but now I'm being serious. Are you doing TikToker characters on stage, impressions of TikTokers on stage?
No, I haven't. Maybe I should do that.
Please start.
Absolutely. Just let people know.
You could pull it off.
I want to write this bit with you. Be like, I know not everyone's on TikTok. It's kind of young. So I'm just going to let you know the stuff that's going on TikTok.
And that's a great idea.
Yeah.
The guy that does, here's ways to laugh and be attractive. That's so funny and stupid.
I need my hair to grow a little bit longer because they have these like really perfect bangs. Oh man, it's pretty bleak. So scrolling through TikTok is pretty bleak, but then every now and then you'll get like a baby with cheese stuck on its face. And you're like, well, that makes it all worth it.
Yeah.
And then you scroll for like another hour until you get to like a goat that's stuck in a market.
Anything stuck on a baby or an animal, I do like... I realize the videos I've liked the most lately are TikTok, and it doesn't have to be... a dance or a lip sync or a kid with bangs teaching you how to laugh to girls. There's some pretty, I got to get on there. I'm going to get
Chris,
on TikTok. I swear.
Can I just tell you?
Yeah.
I'll just write bits for everybody. Here's yours for TikTok. Get your ass out in that front yard and take videos of Bambi with her tongue out with the babies.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's all you need in a viral video.
Yeah. No.
It's like an interesting tongue out animal.
And all I've been doing is little Instagram videos of like, here's a deer outside my window. And that's, I don't add any comedy. Who am I? Who do I
Nobody
think
wants
I am?
It.
Yeah. You gotta get the tongue out, dear. And Karen, for you, you got that song that's like, look at your phone, the look at your phone song. You put that onto TikTok.
Yeah.
People will start making videos. A 17-year-old girls will start making videos about being bored and then having to look at their phone.
Yes.
And then your song will become a chart-topping hit because that's how all music becomes popular now is... They'll pay these TikTokers to make videos of like Lil Nas X.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Like the day that Bo Burnham special came, he has some Jeffrey Bezos song that is a catchy. All the songs are good. I actually really like his special.
He writes great songs. Really good.
I saw that song being used all over TikTok, like within the week. Jeffrey Bezos.
Yeah.
Come on, Jeffrey, you can do it. It's pretty great. Yeah. You're right. Whit's right.
Wit's right. Wit, Karen's you right. have permission to take my song on there and be the first 17-year-old girl that does it, and then start the trend.
Okay.
You're the only TikToker I know.
I'll put
you're
a wig on.
Right. You're in the process of doing a music album, right, Wit?
Yeah, I'm in the recording studio. We're taking a week off, but right now, that's what I've been doing.
Nice.
My friend Melina is producing it. She's performs under the moniker J-Som. And she's producing it, but so a lot of what happened is I just started writing a lot of music, some of it more comedy leaning and some not, what, you know, not too different than what I already do, but
yeah.
But I stopped with synthesizer music because that music was fun to write, knowing that I would then be going on tour.
Yeah.
Are dancing and stuff to it. But writing that alone in my room is not as fun. It was more depressing than anything. So I just kind of went back to just playing guitar. That's more the vibe of the new music. And that's why I was very grateful that I had that. Because, and then the lockdown happened. Because, to be honest, if I would have gone on tour right at the beginning of lockdown, I probably would have just done a bunch of half-written jokes and songs, and maybe people would have gone, maybe not, I don't know. Maybe people would have been like, yeah, it's not, this didn't seem very well thought out or planned. But because of COVID, I kind of had to sit and really think about what I would do.
You wouldn't have gone out and done the material from the golden one?
No, and that was kind of a weird realization is because I'm the people who put out my music are called, the label's called Hardly Art, and they've never done a comedy album. And so they were like, hold up, you perform, now you go on tour and do the golden one. And yeah. I was like, no, that's not how comedy works. I already burned it. I did it already. And they were like, fuck. Damn it, we were planning on you going out and supporting this album. And I'm like, I don't think people want to hear it again.
No, I don't know, Wit. I think you can do you want with comedy. I really do. If you know people are going to like it. I don't think, as comics, we think people are going to get mad if it's something that they heard on an album. But if it that soon after your spell, you can keep doing that stuff. You don't have to. I'm telling this to you and to me. You don't have to retire all that material.
No. Especially with music, because the music part is a different, the experience is different. And so, yes, it's good to always be push yourself and always be making new stuff. But those people, especially now, it's the perfect setup because the people that did see the special or didn't get to engage in it in any way, that's the second chance.
And is the different part with me. I want to hear those songs you did on your special.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to, retire them. So now you have all this new material because we just gave you permission to keep doing it.
That's what I was fishing for.
Well, you just caught a big old bass.
That's your new album, Fishing for Permission.
That's pretty good. Good one, Karen.
That is really good.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Fishing for permission.
Sorry, I did the accent. That's not right.
Hey,
right to do to a southerner.
That's what fishermen sound like. They sound southern no matter where they're from.
Every time I do my southern accent, I'll go hey, y'all, what's everybody doing? Which is just kind of my voice, but in southern Vermont. Mm-hmm. Don't go down there. That's what I used to sound like. The reason I stopped having a southern accent is a real one is because when I saw a video of myself when I was 14, it was a skate video, and I'm trying to get my buddy to ollie off of a loading dock, and I go, dude, just do it, don't be a bitch. And I was like, I heard my voice and I was like, I can't talk, I gotta fix this. But so anytime I do it, that voice, people will comment online. They'll be like, you're doing Zach Galifianakis. Or it's like, you're doing Seth Galifianakis. It's it's funny that I guess he does that on his TV show too. But the high-pitched Chip Southern Boston. Guy, Chip, his high-pitched Southern guy is absolutely reserved. It's his thing, you know?
Yeah.
And it's wild because there's a lot of people who sound like that, and that's why good is because it's so relatable. But I'm like, holy shit, like, if I just sounded like my natural voice, like, if I would have never altered my accent growing up, I would just sound like Chip Baskets.
you should grow a big beard. Yeah. Like, just be doing Zach directly. Like, they're going to say it anyway.
Yeah. Just do it. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw a stand-up set when I very first started. It was like the third time I had done stand up, and my voice was pitched up like this. Like, it's that thing. I see people do it all the time, men and women, where you kind of pitch your voice up as if to say, please don't hurt me. Like, hey, what do you guys like this thing or whatever? And then soon after that video where I was like, I can't believe I talk like I almost sounded like a like I was in high school or younger. And then I saw Janine Garofalo on Half Hour Comedy Hour, and she, her whole thing was this. Yeah. And so then I started talking as deeply as I could without like basically hurting my throat. Because it was like, oh, that's what I want to be like her. I don't want to be like, you know, whatever I thought I naturally was like.
I mean, dude, if you want to see a guy flailing, you gotta watch videos of me when I was in Australia. I did like some like late night Australia sets, and I was bombing all over the place in Australia, not having any good shows. And so I started doing an impression of an American, but like thinking like, okay, just be really confident, sort of lean into that you're from Alabama, like be big and like, don't be yourself at all. And it's so fucking embarrassing. It's like, yikes. It's really weird. For all your listeners, if you see these videos, just know that I know.
But what are you supposed to do? Like, here's the thing. That makes me think of when I did colleges. When I first moved to LA, I did colleges for money, and that's all I did was eat it. And I remember, like, I had gone and done one, and it was so terrible. And it was, I didn't have enough material. I wasn't good enough for, like, you know, a bunch of 19-year-olds who think they know everything or whatever. And I remember coming back and being in a full panic and being at a party with a bunch of comics, and they're like, people were telling me I could take entire chunks of theirs. They're like, yeah, just do whatever you want. Like, just survive. Like, get through it. Because this is like, no one gives a shit. I remember Karen Anderson being like, you can take that whole chunk if you want to. Because I was telling her about talking about a similar thing out of pure panic of just like going on to a similar topic. She goes, take that whole chunk. I don't care. Like, yeah. It's a thing of like, when you're alone touring and eating it consistently, there's nothing worse in the world. Whatever people end up doing, it's like, I'm sure that's how a lot of people ended up being ventriloquists or like, you know what I mean? Like a comic that also does magic. Cause like you're truly dying on stage. Like you're fighting for your life.
Yeah. It was a nightmare.
It's horrible.
It was awful. And I'm glad there's like documented evidence of like me just like really struggling.
I'm getting quiet, realizing with myself that I've been doing stand-up a lot, kind of saying to myself, well, I'm going to win them over with my reggae chunk. I just kind of realized what was happening. That's my magic on a cruise ship.
Boom! It works though, Chris. I can't deny it.
After I do it, I feel it's like getting baptized or getting dipped into an ice bath or whatever people do. I feel terrific afterwards when I do reggae for people. And I'm all sweaty because I'm nervous. I'm really putting myself out there.
It's
a misappropriation of a whole culture. So that puts my back against the wall. I'm like, if I say the wrong thing or make fun of it in the wrong way, I'm really in trouble. So at the end, my back's all sweaty. I love reggae music. I would not have said that a couple years ago.
See, that to congratulate both of you, because what you're saying is it, when you're eating it or when you're in a pinch on stage, what you do is you try and you put in an effort and you're like, what kind of show do you want? Then I'll give you what you want. Whereas when I start to eat it on stage, I like to then begin to kind of hold forth on how comedy is dead. And I just shut the entire fucking evening down.
Oh, I do that.
I might as well turn the lights out. It's so shitty.
I do it too.
It's so shitty.
No, like I love what I've seen you do that when you had your show with April at the Improv. And I'm like, yeah, I want to do that too. And then I go on stage in a bad mood. Here's something Karen didn't mention. Audiences are dead. Or I wish this one was.
That's what I like now about playing music, is people are just sort of forced to clap and then you gotta go.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Doing bits, like elaborate sort of bits that involve a prop, people feel guilty and you know, they gotta clap and then you gotta get out of there.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
They're totally trapped.
Yeah.
And they have to regard you. I mean, that's the thing that I used to tell Chris was the hardest thing for me when I would do my songs, was starting the song and knowing this isn't going to be over for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And everyone's just going to listen to me the whole time. Maybe hopefully laugh, but for the most part, they just have to listen. It's it's very difficult.
If you're used to laughs, I guess, but I did just listen. I would just listen to you and to Wit, because you guys actually make good songs.
Well, thanks, pal.
And I don't listen to music Chris. I like and laugh at them. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. And sometimes I'm like, a lot of the greatest musicians, if they were to like tell stories in between their songs, just a quick little anecdote about what they're about to sing, those songs would then become the greatest comedy songs. Like that Nothing But Flowers by Talking Heads. Like if David Byrne was like, walking around on a parking lot or walking around a field and now there's a Pizza Hut there. Or had some joke about it or something. Yeah. And then he was like,
And then he wiggled his knees.
Nothing but flowers.
Yeah.
Sometimes, have you ever seen one of those guys with huge shoulders and a small head? The best callback of all time later he shows up like that.
Yeah.
Like all of these people, if they just did stand up, they'd be the best showman.
Told a joke.
Destroy.
Yeah, a little talking after the chorus in that song.
You know what, guys? Do you ever feel like heaven is a place where nothing ever really happened?
I like David Byrne talks out of the side of his mouth as a stand-up comic. He's one of the more subtle stand-up comics.
Yeah.
He's just kind of like, guys, you know.
Well, imagine, so like, I feel guilty about playing music and doing the same thing. Oh, people are going to listen to this song for 3 minutes and I have like expect them to clap. But imagine being one of those comedians where your whole thing is that you have like a hot take about feminism or something.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, I think there's a reason. You know what? Feminism. And it's like, that guy is delusional. He's like, I got such a good idea that I'm going to make people listen to it for 3 minutes. And people do, though, is the thing. People love it.
All of comedy. It's all of comedy.
Right now, it's comedy right now, though, like the comedians who are really like top of their game, the big guys are mostly just kind of complaining.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot of what like the most successful comedy in the last few years is just people just like kind of crying into a microphone. Yeah. They're strong. They look strong.
they're streaming on four different channels talking about how they've been silenced.
Well,
there's a lot of that real ironic complaining.
Yeah, that's a future comedy. We have to complain more and start lifting weights, Wit.
Yeah.
Beef up, boys. Beef up.
It's time to beef up. Karen, Whitmer skates with this one of my favorite skateboarders that kind of took a break and then came back. And he does a lot of it. And then Whitmer's skating with a spanky long all the time. And I'm like super jealous. So one day I was skating this curb spot
and Spanky was there. It was just me and him and some other guy taking pictures of him. And I just went up to him and I was like, I'm friends with Whitmer. He's like, oh, yeah, that guy's great. And I'm like, yeah. See you later. It was a
moment. Yeah, he told me about that.
Oh, well, maybe it wasn't that awkward. I did explain why I was bothering him, but that guy.
Well, he's so a nice. No, yeah, he's a nice legend with skater status.
Yeah,
skaters are exciting. Guy.
But trust me, from my perspective, it was very awkward, and I just said, "I'm friends with Whit. Bye." Then I went back and said, "Sorry, that was weird. My name's Chris."
No, did you?
Yeah. Well, we were skating.
You circled back around?
We were skating the same spot. Otherwise, I'd then stand next to him and be like, remember a minute ago? Never mind. I can't look at you.
You're like, sir, I'm trying to eat in this restaurant. And, please move away.
And he skates with that Tim Robinson who put it. He's got the new episode of I Think You Should Leave. That guy is very good at skateboarding. And I don't
Is he very good?
Yeah, he does frontside flips, big ones.
Oh, yeah, he's really good. He's great. He's a great and guy. Does, good
do you
skater.
Get the impression he doesn't skate that often? He's just got that ability, or?
Oh, no, he skates a lot.
He skates a lot.
A few times a week.
Okay, good. Okay.
He quit for a while, though.
I needed to hear that. Yeah, that's what everyone did. Everyone's coming back.
Oh, yeah, that's what was great about COVID.
Yeah.
Is that we all get
again.
To make this return? Yeah.
Yeah.
Tim Robinson is so funny.
Yeah.
And so good. And I Think You Should Leave is so fucking funny insane. It's just, and I love how much people love it.
Yeah.
Like people just love it. Like my friend called me after it premiered and wanted to talk about Coffin Flop. Like you know what I mean? It's like a real thing. And he's so deserving of that kind of total devotion. Like he's such a good guy, cool guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's funny like nobody else is. And the other day I was talking to a buddy like, bam, so many people are going to start copying Tim Robinson now because he's the first guy
it.
To put out.
I've already seen it.
Put people out a doing TV the... show
yeah.
that is like purely silly. A guy's. But then I continued to think and I was like, that's probably okay.
Like, yeah.
People just going full blown silly again is like, oh, that's kind of nice.
Yeah. Like, yes. Totally, yeah. It is. Yeah, I've already seen it. I've seen it a lot just on people's videos. I'm like, oh, that guy's trying really hard to be Tim Robinson right now.
Yeah, if he inspires people to be like dumbasses, then hell, I mean, you know.
That sketch that started with him, spoiler alert, with a hot dog hidden up his sleeve trying to eat it during the meeting.
Oh, my
is
God.
It's just like,
I'm in that sketch.
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
I'm so sorry. Say, are you really?
Yeah, he's it in doesn't a board
look.
Meeting,
I don't look like myself.
No,
is your hair slicked back or something?
My hair is slicked down and like very perfectly combed, and I'm wearing like businessman.
I got so excited that I'm like that you brought up the hot dog sleeve, and I was like, "What's in that shit?" And I was like, "He'll say it. I don't need to say it."
Oh. Can I just say for 1 second that I thought this second we started talking about this, I thought maybe. I remembered that you were in it, but then I know Andrew Michon is in it. And I was like, are you mixing up the young blonde comedians that you know? Like, don't be that person.
Are you confusing yourself with Andrew, the other skateboarder?
So how did you, do you want to give us a little background? Were you friends with him or what? How did you get into that?
Yeah.
That part. Well, you know, I'm barely in it for a hot minute, and you're not the only person who's like telling me about that sketch. And then I'm like, you know, I'm in that. That's you. And then they go and pause it on me, and they're like, this doesn't look anything like you.
Yeah.
I have this effect where if like I wear glasses or if I like comb my hair. To be honest, I don't even have blonde hair. I have brown hair, but people see me as having blonde hair all the time. They like imagine me with blonde hair. So most of the time. Usually, you know, like every gathering I go to, someone will come up to me and be like, did you dye your hair brown?
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
I have this effect to where like I'm a complete stranger all the time. So like,
because you're a good actor, because you're a very, very good actor. No, I'm not being sarcastic. I saw that movie that you made, that short film with where you were the creepy poolside boyfriend.
Yeah. That my friend's mom or what's it called?
My daughter's boyfriend.
This is close. I was so close.
My friend's mom.
My daughter's boyfriend. Yeah, I was confusing it with the Blink 182 song.
I was just surprised when I saw that. I think I told you this already, but when I saw that you really are a great actor, to the point where I think you're right in that, like, neutrality is kind of the key, because then you're just going in like, I didn't recognize you, because as I know Wit, he wouldn't be in a boardroom.
Right.
Why would he be at a marketing meeting or whatever the hell that meeting was? Yeah.
That's true. No, I totally feel you. And I got cast because I'm friends with Tama, to be honest. I don't know. He didn't text me about it or anything. My agent was like,
yeah,
do you want this? Yeah. But I'm not seen for like most of the sketch until I have a line. My whole side of the table is. And I'm worried that is because I was laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
Hysterically.
That's so funny.
Through the entire shoot. Even when the camera wasn't on me, when it was on me, I was like, how are the fuck are they going to cut this together?
It takes a comic to know how to play the other side of a sketch like that. And that's what I noticed about the first season, or even his characters thing. I was like, right away, it's like, God, the supporting cast of all these sketches is so good at playing the straight man that clearly they are also funny enough to realize, oh, I have to just earnestly react. Like, I don't know if I'm explaining that correctly, but that I've been impressed with everyone in that show.
Oh yeah. Like, yes. And I felt really unprofessional because all of the other actors in that were real actors, and maybe some of them were Tim's friends or, you know, fellow comedians, but like they were not laughing.
Yeah.
As hard as I was, but I was sat right across from him and was looking at the tip of the hot dog.
How do you not laugh at that?
And he kept looking at something that's not in it. And I don't think he cares that I say, but he kept looking at me or whoever was around and going, this is a really good meeting. Well, this is so funny. This is one of the best meetings I've ever been to.
He's truly my favorite. So yes. Good.
Yeah, I watched that with my nieces. And when he was walking with his eyes, I didn't quite get it when his arm was just... And my nieces were like, oh, my God, the hot dog's in his sleeve. And I was like, what? And I was like, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
Dude, so
delightful.
Good. Yeah. Good for kids is my point. My 16-year-old nieces, they loved it.
Oh, I bet. Yes. Yeah. If I was like a child when this came out, then I would be obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big time. Because it's all things. It's like they're really good concept. Like just the concept of a sketch of a guy that was trying to eat a hot dog during an important meeting is so funny and stupid. And then of course the extreme he takes it to, the extreme he takes everything to. Everything becomes like a mud pie and a fucking you shit in this and whatever. And it's just like, it's the feeling of like when your parents are having a dinner party downstairs and all the kids are in a room upstairs and you start like running around or whatever, and there's no supervision until everyone's kind of out of their mind.
Yeah.
That's what it makes me feel like when I'm watching it and how it feels when I'm laughing at it. It's just like, we're going to get in trouble. It's just hysteria almost. It's so
fucking good. I love that stuff.
Yeah, I love that silliness too, but also, yeah, a good nut. I just want to bring it back to your special. I actually watched that and I was like tearing up. It's so like heartfelt and serious in times. I think that. So then, of course, we're going to appreciate straight up silliness.
Yeah, that's more my line. That I prefer that. As far as me making comedy goes, it's like I found sort of that. Like I am the opposite of mysterious as a comedian or as a artist. Like I just want people to, I'm like, okay, I'm writing a song. Let's see if I can teach people everything about me in 3 minutes.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of those guys who is able to like go on stage and I have to tell people that like, my parents, my dad split and my mom is dead. And then also let me sprinkle in a joke about how I fucking clog the toilet or something like that.
Yeah,
but like first I have to kind of
this is
teach people a little bit about me.
We're all part of the Dead Moms Club. What a cool meeting. Yeah, you're not, but someone could do that and you could tell they're doing it as a, you're just naturally open, so it doesn't come off like, I gotta mention this and this and this. You just, that's what you talk about. It's great.
Also, it's a style. It makes me think of like when you guys used to host that show at that Black Box
power
Theater.
Power Violence.
Power Violence. It feels like it was 20 years ago, but it's this, it is a style of, it's like deconstructing stand-up in a way where it's like, right, I'm about to do this and everything, but also I'm going to do what I want. It's very punk rock skateboardy kind of, I always have that tendency where it's like, right, I walked out here, you clapped for 3 more seconds, then your clapping died down. You're expecting me to do this thing. I am not going to do that because you need to know that I'm in charge and this is my fucking 15 minutes and I don't care to do the things everyone else is doing. Yeah. And like there, to me, that is, it's kind of a aesthetic in stand-up where there's some people who are like, you, that it automatically means you're not good at stand-up comedy. And it's like, no, it's, I think there's something else going on. That's like, it makes me more excited because I'm like fucking up my own set before I start.
Yeah.
Or going, I'm going to set this pace that is a different thing. It's going to be more personal. It's going to be more casual and it's my pace. I'm going to have the guts to set it. And I think it's, you know, it's good.
Yeah.
It's important.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like putting on a show. Like, I honestly, a lot of times I don't, you know, I don't really care if it's like super funny when I'm watching somebody. I just want to feel like I was like super entertained. And I'm like, I'm not looking for like, they had 14 perfectly crafted jokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just kind of want to be like super entertained, which I think is why sometimes it's really fun to watch a friend bomb.
Yeah.
And at Power Violence, like that was like probably 10 years ago when
you kept doing it at the Satellite, which unfortunately is closed, but that show got really big.
That was like, we got lucky because we just didn't know what we were doing. We were a band and then everybody made fun of us. Looking back, we were so confident because y'all were headlining comedians who made a living in comedy. And we were so brave to be like, hey, Chris, here's we're going to give you some chalk. And would you, for like 10 minutes, draw things?
Oh, yeah. That was.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun. Yeah. I forgot about that.
I have a photo of that somewhere. Oh, just like drawing. And then Karen would be like, you have to pick which one of us to go out on a date with.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
We drew all these pictures of you.
I still have one of those pictures. Makes me laugh so hard because whoever drew it, my eyes are really big and my boobs are really round. It almost looked like someone used like a peanut butter jar lid to circle. It was just like these dudes. That was my favorite. I've never, comedy is always, has always been so painful to me or so like, and that was like, I remember standing on stage and just being like, this is a whole new generation of comedy where like people are truly romancing you as you're doing your set or before or after. So hilarious.
Totally. Yeah.
I mean, we would do like, we did a bit where we gave our friend Clay a bath on stage with Dr. Pepper at the beginning of the show. And so the whole floor was like sticky. Very sticky. And I think about it and laugh all the time because Natasha Leggero went out after that and her high heels were sticking to the stage. And she didn't watch the beginning because she was backstage and she was like, what is wrong with the floor?
And then everyone's laughing at her for not watching the beginning of the show.
Yeah. And so I now, every time I'm sitting backstage, I look at the stage and I look at the comedian on the stage and I imagine if their feet were getting stuck to the floor, and it makes me laugh so hard. And like, we didn't think about that at all. Like, what if the comic who's like really trying to work out their material for their job is annoyed because their feet are sticking to them?
Then that's sad for that comic because their job is to have their feet stuck to the floor and say something funny about it.
Like, well, she wasn't. She was totally cool, but
Yes, of course. She's the funniest. She's probably just pissed about her shoes getting dirty.
Yeah. Probably nice shoes. You really fucked up those shoes, Whit.
Yeah.
Expensive shoes.
Well, when do you think, or I don't know, do you know when you're going to be done with your album? Your music album you're working on?
Oh, probably by the end of August. We just have a couple more little days. We got to record some drums and some extra vocals.
Well, everyone should look out for that, because with the songs on your special, I really like, they were in my head for a long time. They're really good. It was like, I don't know what you would synth. I'm not saying it because of the synth, but they reminded me of, I hate like labeling music, but
I just call it like dark wave, synth
dark
wave,
yeah,
new
yeah.
Wave.
I like dark wave. Okay, I like dark wave. Yeah, melodic-y 80s.
Thanks,
so.
Pal.
I love.
And
it.
Thank y'all for having me. This podcast. Every now and again, I'll just see a tweet that says like, "Oh my god, the kidnapping. Just listen to Do You Need a Ride? Whitmer Thomas kidnap story."
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit, that's where I first told that story. Like,
yeah. Is that true?
Yeah, it was. Or I mean, I had probably told it before, but I think that was the first time I ever told it publicly.
Yeah. I think I saw you tell it at Meltdown and then was like, I need you to.
Yeah, it seems kind of weird to say, but after you listen to this episode, listen to the first time Whitmer was on our podcast as an accompaniment, because, man, we covered some shit. That door-to-door sales stuff. Oh, there was some good stuff in that episode.
Oh, man.
Well, thanks for being on, buddy, and let's go skateboarding. And
It's nice to see you. I haven't seen you in so long, Whit.
Yeah, it's good seeing y'all, too. I miss seeing y'all. I mean, I see Chris, so mostly I miss Karen. No offense, Chris.
No, it's okay. Thanks. Yeah, I'm around.
I mostly miss you, too.
I hope to hang with y'all soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to your music album.
Do you want to plug your podcast or a show of any kind?
Oh yeah, I go on tour in December. None of those dates are announced yet, so
yeah,
that's not helpful. I have a podcast called American Arts and Culture Review. Just me and my buddies who are in Power Violence with me, and we just talk about going to see a movie, being hungry.
American Arts and Culture.
Yeah,
just like
American
the title says.
Yeah, so check that out.
Awesome. Hey, everyone. I have an album coming out on August 3rd called the Rescue Cactus Album. Some of the material is the second night of recording from when I did my special. A lot of it's all new. Get it. It's on 800 Pound Gorilla Records, and it's wherever you can find your music, iTunes and everything. So enjoy it and thank you. Well, thanks for being on, friend. Good to see you again. Karen, my
good
other friend. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? D-Y-N-A-R!
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
That's how you make a horn sound if you want a girl to like you.